Space, the final frontier. We're going to talk about the new Star Trek series, Picard, on the latest, our 201st episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies.
Wait, is there another streaming service? Oh boy, pinch me.
No, CBS All Access has been up for a while. I'll get into that. That's Bill
but
McCuddy.
But you have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's Bill McCuddy and Bill Bregoli. And if you hear drilling...
Well, they don't so far, but Neil apparently lives under a dentist.
Yeah, there's drilling being done in this building, so if that's distracting, we apologize.
Not any in this apartment, according to Mrs. Rosen.
Yeah, funny. Bill Henny Youngman. All right, so...
So is this a Star Trek series?
So Star Trek The Next Generation, which, in my opinion, although Trekker fans will tell you that it's kind of a toss-up between the original series and the one with Patrick Stewart, where he played Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Next Generation was
right,
that?
So CBS, So CBS All Access launched about a little over a year ago, and their breakout, their what they launched with, like Apple launched with that ridiculous
morning show,
which I can't believe that Jennifer Aniston won the SAG Award for that.
It's one of the worst shows on television, and people really think it's excellent.
It's awful.
I can't tell you.
It's boring, and she's boring. She's not, and I think she's a really gifted comedian.
She is gifted, and I like her, and I don't mean to hijack this and take it a different way.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that in a second, but I feel really happy for her that she won the other night, and she got to win it in front of Brad Pitt, and now everybody's saying they're back together.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
But, and her dress was amazing. I'm happy for her, but I wish it wasn't for that thing, because it just makes people believe that the morning show is good. It's an Aaron Sorkin wannabe, and the only good person in it is Billy Crudup, and he lost the other night, so there's no justice.
But he did win the Golden Globe. He did win...
You mean the Critics' Choice?
Was it the Critics' Choice that he won?
Yeah,
I knew he won
so
many award shows. Well, anyway, so they launched CBS All Access 2 years ago with a new Star Trek series, which was not very good. So, but they offered up the first few episodes for free, or the first episode for free to anybody to kind of lure them in to pay for this streaming service, CBS All Access. But
they also gave it free to all CBS employees.
They did.
Yeah.
What the CBS All Access thing?
Yeah.
So you have it.
I don't work for CBS.
Oh, but you
work at CBS.
Okay. So so this time they came out with one of the most beloved characters in the history of the Star Trek franchise, which is now 44 years old, almost 44 years old, which is played by Patrick Stewart, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, the captain of the Enterprise from the Next Generation series. And this is called Star Trek Picard. It picks up, he's been retired for 14 years in France, tending to a vineyard, which is kind of how
run by the Coneheads?
No, this is how the series, when Next Generation ended, this is, they kind of flashed into the future, and he's tending a vineyard in France.
What's France like in the future? Are they still really snotty?
No, it's the vineyard's tended by Klingons and all kinds of. But it looks, he's the vineyard building looks like it was built in the 18th or 19th century.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
So anyway, to make a long story short,
that's not possible.
Picard is kind of on the outs with Starfleet because something that he did as when he was before he retired as
sold
Admiral,
them bad wine.
He Mars had to be evacuated because all the there's a character called Data played by Brent Spiner,
sure,
who's actually in this new series. Data is an artificial life form. All these other artificial life forms in somewhere before Picard retired in the vineyard, rebelled. It's like that whole thing from like science fiction when you were a kid, where it's like the robots are going to rebel.
There's
a Twilight episode like that.
Westworld, it's a Twilight.
Yeah, right. The robots rebel. Yeah. And they kill
iRobot.
They kill, I don't know, all these Romulans, and it's a whole international.
And Picard is blamed.
Yes, so he finds out that.
So he never rejoins Starfleet.
Well, he asks for a ship because he thinks there's spies in Starfleet, and wants a ship to kind of get to the bottom of it. And he goes, I thought that I could be happy on this vineyard, but I'm really looking to the stars, and I really want to get back out. So he teams up with these people, and he gets a ship, and he's going to try to right the wrong, basically.
And all get to this the bottom in one episode?
Wow. No, it was three episodes. I saw three episodes.
Oh,
yeah. Three
okay.
episodes. And these
and
episodes,
they went faster than his
and the
description.
First two episodes were written, who's also producing the series, by Akiva Goldman.
Oh, sure.
So you got a real pedigree on this thing, who won numerous Academy Awards.
Yeah, mostly with Ron Howard
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the thing that I like about Star Trek over Star Wars and why I always love Star Trek is it's cerebral. Like the Twilight Zone, it gives you something to think about. It, you know, this is not a shoot 'em up.
Is that really a big order with Neil Rosen?
it is. It's a very big order with me. Star Wars is more like science fantasy, whereas Star Trek is science fiction. They're very intelligent stories. And if you watch these first three episodes, there's not a lot of shoot 'em up stuff like in space. It's really about, you know, you got to really pay attention to what's going on. And it's concepts about world peace, and there's parallels to what's going on today in, like, there's little digs they don't with like what's happening in the Trump administration and, you know, suppression of the media.
Trump is still president.
I mean,
in the future
you wouldn't see like suppression of the media.
I knew
in
he
Star
wouldn't
Wars
leave
or anything, but it's very interesting. I like it.
Picard, here's the $1 million question. Picard isn't just phoning it in. He's like,
no, he's great.
He's great.
Patrick Stewart is great.
Yeah, okay.
I could have Patrick Stewart, you know, read
no, he's,
a,
he
a
is
menu,
great.
A menu from a
he
restaurant.
And Ian McKellen are like best friends, and they still work. And
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Yes, Sir Ian Sorry. McKellen.
Don't get surly.
McKellen. Yeah, so it's great. I mean, Star Trek fans will really be satisfied. And then you have people, cast members from The Next Generation. This is not in the first three episodes I saw, other than Data, Brent Spiner, but you'll see in the trailer that the guy who plays Riker and the one who plays Counselor Troy, they all make cameos. So now that he gets his ship, which is the end of the third episode, he'll probably ask advice and help from his former crewmates. So if you are a Star Trek fan and a Star Trek Next Generation fan, you're right there. You're right back in it. They didn't screw it up. And the visual look of this thing, I mean, they must have either technology in CG computer animation has become so great, but it just looks amazing.
It hasn't gotten cheap, so they spent money whether they made the sets or whether they did it in computer.
I mean, the Borg cube is back, and if you are follow what I'm saying, if you know the series, and the Borg cube looks infinitely more interesting from a visual standpoint than on the old series. I mean, look, if you look at the original Star Trek series with William Shatner and DeForest Kelly and Leonard Nimoy, I mean, you look at that mid-60s show, and it really looks bad from it. The stories were great, but it looks bad visually because there was no – the sets are awful. And Next Generation was like a million times better looking, and this is like 1,000 times better looking than that. And I think it's because you just can put it in the computer and you can just do these effects. But yes,
they well, if we don't have your access to these private screening links, when do the rest of us get to watch this?
This Thursday, which is probably – which we were recording this on a Wednesday – on
it's probably
January
up by
22nd.
Now, whenever you're listening.
It's going to go up Thursday. And I don't know if they're going to put them up one episode at a time, like Hulu does with Handmaid's Tale, or if they're going to put them all up like Netflix puts up Schitt's Creek.
Which way do you prefer?
I actually prefer put everything up. I mean, you know, that way I can just, if I want to binge it and just
Bergoli?
Watch.
I like having them all up, because then I sneak ahead and look at the descriptions for the chapters I haven't looked at yet and kind of figure out what's going
on. What do you prefer?
I like it all at once too, yeah. But we've had this conversation before. There was a Swedish study I keep bringing up that says that's how our brains are wired. I've mentioned it before. You're looking puzzled, as you always do. But yeah, there was 2 years ago this big Swedish study that says our brains are wired to want it all at once. This whole idea that everything came once a week was something that Fred Silverman came up, you know, like the original
TV.
Well,
no, it came once a week because that's the way television.
Right. Well,
they
what
weren't
I mean.
Going to
the origins of television.
Television
were
was live.
Episodic.
They weren't going to like let's sit here for 20 hours and do 20 hours of programming and you know and tell
live from New York. It's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday Night Live.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it would take a week to prepare your show of shows, and then you'd have another week to, or even if it was a film series, you know, they weren't. I guess you could do one of those half. I guess you could have filmed an entire season's worth of I Dream of Jeannie or The Fugitive and then just ran them on ABC or NBC for a week straight or something. But no, the technology wasn't, this is, you know, go at your own rate, go at your own pace.
Yeah. Well,
I'm watching a, you know, I as I said last week, I watched Fleabag in like a week, and I didn't gravitate to it, but you know, Succession was phenomenal, and I just couldn't stop watching that thing. And
well, you mentioned Schitt's Creek a moment ago, and I had to be dragged into this thing, but I am a fan of Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, and they're really, really, I guess this is into like its sixth or seventh year.
This is the last year. This is the last season.
It kept winning awards and being nominated for stuff, and I'm like, that can't be. It looks like Green Acres. It can't be that funny. And lo and behold, Mrs. McCutty, who's the brains of the outfit, starts watching this thing, and so it's playing, and I'm drifting into the room, and it's an 85-inch TV, so it tends to get my attention. And I start watching this thing, and it's really funny. I mean, Eugene Levy and his kid, Dan, I think his name is.
It's his real-life son.
Yeah, and his real-life daughter is in it, too. They're really, whoever's show-running it, it's really, really well-written.
Well, let me ask you this, okay?
Chris Elliott's in it.
I know. All right. So my daughter loved this show and kept telling my wife and myself, you got to watch
this. There's a hot daughter you'd like.
You got to watch this. You got to watch
you
this.
You and Bill.
So then my wife and I watched the first three episodes of the first
season.
Yeah,
it doesn't start off well.
And I was bored as shit. I said, look, this is terrible. So then my daughter comes back and says, and a friend of mine also said to me, who loves the show, said, no, forget the first season. Just start watching.
And how many times have you said that when you've loved a show, that it's not about the first couple of episodes?
Okay, so now my wife, who's up to date, well, actually, I think they had a new episode last night.
Yeah.
But other than that episode, she's watched all of them. She goes, this is really good. And now I pop in and out. I mean, she's just sitting binge watching this thing, and I pop in and out and I watch it, and it doesn't look that much. But again, to be fair to the show, I'm watching fragments now, just little pieces of it. But it doesn't seem that much better than.
No, I think it's really funny. It starts.
Can I skip the whole first season and just go to the second season?
Yeah, I did. I came in really late. I mean, it's no surprise.
But the premise,
they live in a motel in this shitty little town called Schitt's Creek, and
they never moved to a house.
No,
the whole season they're in a motel.
They're in a motel. Yeah.
Okay. And Chris Elliott.
Well, he owns the town, so he owns the motel.
Right. And Chris Elliott's still the mayor of the town.
Yeah.
If you go in later, okay. The son looks just like him. I mean,
yeah, he does.
And I didn't know that the daughter, that was his real, the
not his daughter on the show, the one who runs the cafe or the town restaurant.
Okay, so it's a family affair. Well, Catherine O'Hara and
Catherine
Eugene
O'Hara
Levy
steals
in all those
Christopher
Guest movies like Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman and all that stuff. And they were was Catherine O'Hara on
SCTV?
So they're both SCTV.
Well, she's as good. He's always Eugene Levy, but she's as good as she ever was
she's,
in any of those
great
Christopher Guest things.
All right,
because she's a former actress, and everything is dramatic to her, and it's really funny.
So, Bregoli, about a year ago, you were talking up this TV show. Is it a Netflix series?
Yes, right. It's called Sex Education. And naturally, I wanted to watch it.
And you talked it up on this podcast, and now they've just begun their second
season. Right.
So,
just dropped on Netflix.
This has a devoted cult-like following that I haven't joined it, because I haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But people, when I mention at a dinner party that, you know, what we do, first of all, they're stunned because such a step down for me. But no, for all of us, I'm kidding. They like, are you watching the Sex Education? It's great. Gillian Anderson's great. The kid's great.
So. Yeah, Asa Butterfield plays her son.
Uh-huh.
And in the first season, Pete teams up with the bad girl in his high school, and they set up this underground sex therapy clinic because kids aren't getting sex education.
Right.
It's kind of the way it is
nowadays. His mom is a sex therapist.
And his mom, and he's constantly embarrassed by her. She's bringing giant models of vaginas into their house.
Gillian
Anderson.
Leaving
them around. Right.
Yeah.
And so the second season.
So this is funny.
It's a half hour. It's an hour.
Oh.
Generally, it's just under an hour most of the episodes. It's kind of like John Hughes with sex. I mean, these kids are the characters. You really get into the characters. There are love triangles. There are gay relationships. There are kids figuring out their sexuality. They do more figuring out and kind of advancing on the first season than the second season. And it's really, though it's called Sex Education, it's really more about friendships. These kids form real
because nobody's good getting laid. I'm guessing.
Not much. Well, they are.
They talk about
not
it.
Too much on
how
screen.
Old are these kids?
Well, they're supposed to be in high school, but like modern casting being what it is, they all look like they could be at least in college. Everybody looks to be a good 20-something years old.
Okay.
But they play. It's a very Americanized version of a British high school.
And it's set in Britain, right?
Yeah, it's set in Britain. Set in Britain.
They almost always in these shows cast older, like the real age of the actors. I was watching a featurette on Succession, and Alan Ruck was talking about he was 32 when he was in Ferris Bueller. And nobody could
believe one of the reasons is you can
the Wiener King.
Nobody nobody in this, like the people that cast him knew his real age, but they couldn't. I mean, he looked like he was like he's a high school kid. He's 32.
Yeah. Well, you can make them work overtime. That's the thing. You get a young kid. There are very strict rules. So yeah, everybody, there's a lot, and it's good, better for the budget.
That's why babies are always twins when they cast them.
Yeah,
because they can switch them out.
They get a few minutes when one cries.
They're like Bewitched, weren't they? Two little Tabithas. Right. On the Olsen twins, famously, there was only one kid on what was the name of that show? The
Full House.
Full House. Yeah, there's only one, but they swapped them. They swapped them out.
They probably do that now.
So how does this? So I remember when you really liked the first.
I really liked the first one, and I liked the second one because it kind of advances in what's going on, all the relationships in the second season. The ending, the very last episode of the second season, does not wrap everything up in a nice little bow. So I think they're obviously shooting for a third without obviously.
So you binge watched the whole second season?
Yeah, in a weekend.
And how many hours was this? Like 10 hours?
I think it's 10 episodes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you see, here's to your point, McCuddy.
I'm single. I got all the time in the world.
To your point, and that, ladies, if you're interested, he's on Instagram. Right.
You like television?
To your point, McCuddy, on whether to binge watch. You know, do you want them all up? So, Curb Your Enthusiasm started its latest season this past Sunday, and Larry David. I only saw the first episode, which.
But we have access to the HBO media room. So how many do you know? How many?
I don't know. I don't have access. I could call up and get access. But I watched the first episode, and just like all his seasons, there's like a running arc that goes through it, and it's very clever.
It's also long, right? Isn't it like 50 minutes?
No, it's a half an hour.
Oh, it is.
But maybe it's 35 minutes or something, 40 minutes. But no, it's around the. But there was a promo in the beginning for some other HBO show, so I think it's around a half an hour. But the thing is, I want to know what happens next because, and this is brilliant, he takes on, first of all, I'm not giving anything away because the first episode aired on Sunday, and that's when I watched it. Larry, which he did in a very early season, doesn't like to be around people, and in a very early season found a way to get people to stop bothering him. And the clever device in this one is he wants to get out of a lunch with who's the guy that was that was the showrunner on Raymond? Rory Rosengarten or
Rosenstein Rosen?
Yeah, Rosen. Doug? No, he made a movie. He made a couple documentaries.
Well, the guy that's the show. Phil Rosenthal. Okay, so Phil Rosenthal wants to have. Lunch with Larry and invite him to go to Kenya to play some celebrity golf tournament or something like that. And Larry doesn't know how to get out of it. So comes upon this brilliant idea he comes up with. He starts wearing a MAGA hat. And in L.A., everybody is
That's funny.
I know. Everybody is shunning him. He shows up to the lunch on time for Phil Rosenthal, who was like, wants to spend like an hour. I got so many things to talk to you about. It's going to spend an hour. Spends 2 seconds. Oh my God. Oh, look at this. My son. I gotta go. And he goes, this is brilliant.
For those of you listening, Neil just picked up his phone.
He stops. He cuts off a biker on the road, and the biker starts yelling at him, you fucking asshole, blah, 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 blah. And he puts the hat on, and the biker pulls up to the window and goes, oh man, I'm sorry, just be more careful next time. It's just brilliant. Plus, and I never made this connection, Jeff Garlin, who plays Jeff on the show, looks exactly like Harvey Weinstein. So people think that he's hanging out with Harvey Weinstein, which is another really clever thing. So everybody is shunning Larry, and there's a whole Me Too thing that people are mistaking some things that Larry is doing for being sexual harassment when he's just being Larry and it's very. So I want to your question about whether I like things all up at once. Yeah, if there were 10 Curb Your Enthusiasms up there, I probably would have just like gone through the whole
thing. Yeah, but HBO learned a long time ago that, they really have programmed it like old school television, and they are getting a platform on a Sunday night, for example, where
Game of Thrones
is going to be, and now it's going to be Perry Mason. Did you know that?
It's going to be what?
There's going to be a new Perry Mason that some really heavy hitters
on HBO.
That's going to have that 10 o'clock slot on Sunday nights. And some big people are involved in that. So
If you don't watch it when it runs on Sunday, for example, back to Succession, which I talked on a previous podcast and I think is terrific and worthy of all the awards it's won. I came late to that one and I binge watched that. They're all on, you know, they're all on demand. They're all on HBO Go, or now they're changing it to HBO. It's no longer going to be HBO Go. Now it's going to be called HBO something else. But, I was happy to watch. I'm happier to watch a show, HBO Max. HBO Max.
I can't wait till you start streaming on Peacock and they make you watch commercials.
Well, they're going to have to bundle
like
stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's Peacock coming out. I mean, they're all starting their own. I mean, you know, what are you going to have? $10 for and pay per service, and there's 15
people have
service?
Said that I'm getting $10 to death.
Yeah, that was, you know who said that? Gary Delabate, Baba Booey from the Howard Stern Show. But even back then, there were only like four streaming services. Now there's like eight or nine. And I don't care about the Disney one because I don't really care about watching. I've seen all those Disney cartoons. But are they going to have any original programming, the Disney one?
Yeah, they're retooling a lot of their shows.
But is it going to be kids stuff like...
from what I heard, most of it is.
I can't imagine that it wouldn't be.
Yeah, well, that's their brand. And who said that... what show was that the other day where they said...
They're doing a version of Turner and Hooch, as a matter of fact.
Really?
For Disney Plus, yeah.
That Disney is...
You hate to see Tom Hanks fall so far, so fast.
I'm sure they'll recast that.
Yes. So I started watching a show.
Is anyone watching The Bachelor?
No.
Because Stern talks about it nonstop now.
He's so like does Jimmy Kimmel, and I just figure that's part of his ABC deal. It's like you got to promote The
Bachelor. No, I think he's
ABC.
Really, really... He bets on it. He also bets on
he comes out,
the
he
dancing show.
Yeah, he predicts what dancing couple and dancing
with
the stars.
Yeah, he bets them in Vegas.
Well, I don't know. They just had their 3,000th show this week.
Jimmy, so they're a little ahead of us.
It was funny last night. He was reading reviews of the first show and how awful everybody, the Hollywood Reporter, the New York Times, he said the paper of record, everybody was a variety. They were all like just telling everybody how
bad was
the
guy from The Man Show.
Yeah.
The guy from Win Ben Stein's Money.
Now it's 3,000 episodes.
Nobody thought. And in the beginning, they used to get drunk in the green room. I've been to that green room. It's pretty cool. It's got a pool table, a bar, and you can. There was a party there after the show automatically, but before the show.
I remember you called me when you were standing on the stage of that of the Jimmy Kimmel studio during before they were taping, and you said to me, "It's so small."
It's a tiny studio.
Yeah, because it looks pretty big on TV.
No.
Well, have you been
It's wide. It's not very deep.
Well, let me ask you this.
I know that 6B. From personal experience as well.
6B, which is where they do The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Well, now that's like a shotgun. Now that's like a long, skinny...
Yeah, right. I've been in
But it's the same dimensions. I mean, I saw as a kid, I went to a taping of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in that same studio. It's no smaller or the same dimensions. So is the Kimmel studio about the same, you know, people wise, less people or more people than if you
I'm going to say that there's only like 150 people in that Kimmel studio.
Have you
studio.
Been to 6B where they do the?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yes.
So more people.
Well, I was on Conan O'Brien. Isn't that the same Conan O'Brien?
Conan O'Brien was done across the hole in 6A, but they're twin studios. They're exactly the same dimensions. So about the same amount of people?
No, it felt like I was in front of a lot more people on Conan than I was. I wasn't on Kimmel, but I was there during the warm-up and stood next to all I can say is it's where that's a long, skinny set on Conan and on Fallon, this is a wide, shallow set.
Okay. Well, it's right on Hollywood Boulevard. I mean, it's the location's nice.
Yeah.
One's in Midtown Manhattan, and one's in...
But it is good for them to go out on the street and do stuff, because they can find
the
people
Oscar
from all over.
That Dolby thing across the street.
Right. And the Man Chinese.
So I watched this show...
Are we allowed to call it the Man Chinese Theater, or is it the Man...
Well, it used to be Grauman's Chinese Theater, then it was the Chinese Theater, and I don't know, now I think...
what's the politically correct thing?
I don't know, but...
it's the Netflix Theater.
Is it the Pantages Theater or the Pantages Theater?
Pantages.
Okay, so I watched this. I started watching this series. I'm five episodes in. It's two seasons. It was recommended to me by somebody at Netflix, and who said, just check this show out. It's trashy but fun, and it's called You, Y-O-U, and it stars Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl, Dan from Gossip Girl, who plays a psychotic stalker. That's been, who's...
And they thought of you.
He finds this, he meets this girl, he works in a bookstore, and this girl comes into the bookstore, and he's smitten, and he falls in love with her, and he starts stalking her. But she doesn't know that she's being stalked. He's like hiding in the bushes, looking through her window, watching her relationships. He sneaks into her apartment, steals her phone, her computer, gets information, finds out where she's going. I mean, and he starts having a relationship with her, and she has no idea that he's out of his fucking mind. And he's a dangerous, psychotic guy. He kidnaps the guy's the girl's boyfriend and locks him in a in something that would be reminiscent of where Hannibal Lecter was in Silence of the Lambs, this big glass cagey thing. And apparently McCuddy's wife also loves this show. I think it's just a lot of fun.
I can't get enough of it. I don't know. It looks interesting to me, but I haven't
It's fun. It's mindless. It requires no, unlike, which takes a lot of concentration, Picard, Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
No, it does. It's a lot of high concepts in there. there are. It's just mindless. You just watch it, and here's the nutty stalky guy. It's kind of like watching Gossip Girl with a psychotic person on board. You know, it's just he narrates the whole thing. It's like, you know, it's like, well, I know that she's going to has an appointment to see her dad on Wednesday. So what I'll do is I'll say, you know, it requires no thought.
Is
but
this a dark comedy? What is this?
No, it's a, I would say, campy psychological, unintentionally campy psychological thriller, but a lot of fun to watch. It's just fun. And look, what is your wife like about it? Like,
how do you... it's original. And that's about it. I mean, and I think who's the star?
Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I think she thinks he's good.
Yeah, and the girl whose name I don't know what else she's been in, but the one that he's stalking is she's quite good too. And here I will tell you her name.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of scenes, and I keep going, wait, does she know that he's like? And Sue goes, no, not yet. They're done.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah, well,
don't.
I mean, it's. She's hooked on it.
Okay.
Well, the girl's name is Elizabeth Lail, L-A-I-L, Elizabeth Lail. And I don't know what else she's done, not much, but she's very good. And again, this is not a brainiac, thought-provoking series. It's just what do you call that? It's a
TV show?
Guilty pleasure. It's a guilty pleasure Yeah. Okay, before we go, what is your guilty pleasure TV show that you could watch that is basically agreed upon by everyone that's a piece of shit, and we know it's a piece of shit, but it's a lot of fun to watch?
Bill, go first.
I'll go.
Fox News?
Fox News.
I'm going with Maury. You are the father.
Oh, really? No.
I could watch it. It's like if I'm around at like at 11 a.m. or whenever the hell it's on, it's so dopey. I could watch that, you know?
Well, I must have a million of those, but they just seem like normal things I watch to me.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's generally acknowledged that
it's
awful.
First 15 minutes of the morning, the Kelly and Ryan live.
Oh, really? That is pretty awful. Yeah, but that's not awful good. That's just, I don't even watch that. You know.
And a lot of people don't like Andy Cohen. I watch that. I'll tell you what I watch that is a guilty pleasure. It's called Below Deck. It's on Bravo, and it's about a... It's a reality show that takes place on a 175 foot yacht, and all the snotty people that.
Okay,
I've been watching Building Alaska, on the and HGTV.
Building
Alaska, and it's people building cabins in Alaska, and oh no, the snow's melting. We can't get a truck up here. We have to use
Wait
a snowmobile
9 months?
And stuff like that. I don't know why. It just allows me to sleep every night. It's really nice.
Kind of like this podcast.
Yeah.
Hey,
what
are we talking about? Next week, we will have already done our Oscar prediction show on CUNY.
That's right.
So we'll have some.
Which will air next Friday.
This always takes a while.
On CUNY.
Walk us through the whole
next
thing.
Next Friday on CUNY.
Carry the
9:30.
What date is?
And the following week on PBS, All Arts PBS, and I will send links out. But next week we will do our Oscar predictions.
All right, next.
And we will also talk about...
Well, we can talk about The Assistant, which I've seen.
With what's her name?
Garner.
Julia Garner.
Julia Garner. And we can also talk about The Rhythm Section with Blake Lively.
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be because it's a January dump, no, but she looks so hot in that thing.
Yeah,
it's got to be her. What was the horrible one? Red Sonja or Red?
Yeah,
with the one that
and Bill McCuddy,
Jennifer Lawrence made.
Bill McCuddy will have his Super Bowl predictions. He's going to tell you actually. We'll do it.
What's a Super Bowl?
Tell me what teams are playing in the Super Bowl.
I have no idea.
I know. Well,
we watch the bad Super Bowls, so you don't have to.
Yeah, and you know, you can reach me at Neil Rosenapples, Bill Bregoli on Instagram at Bill Bregoli, and Bill McCuddy at Bill McCuddy on Twitter. I'm on Twitter too. And thanks for sitting around talking with movies with us. We'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.